You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting. MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to the Oddscast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC on ESPN 3 event, which takes place in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, Kyle Marley won 2.45 units on his free bet for UFC on ESPN plus 12 on Molly McCann. Kyle has his bets and fantasy MMA picks available now on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Back to the present, UFC on ESPN 3 features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired in its entirety on ESPN this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on the ESPN preliminary card is a heavyweight contest between Maurice Greene, who is 7-2, and Junior Albini, who is 14-5. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Couple quick shout-outs before we get started. Of course, BetDSI.eu, our sponsored sportsbook. Make sure you show BetDSI some love. And also check out MMAOB Premium. Kyle Marley has his bets usually posted on the website. So make sure you guys check it out and get your selections in for MMAOB Premium. So make sure you check out the packages Kyle has to offer for this weekend as well, along with his free play and DraftKings analysis to go along with it. So getting right into the fight, though, Green versus Albini. Green opened up minus 155, the comeback on Albini plus 115. And right now, the current line at BetDSI, you're looking at Albini minus 108. The comeback on Green is minus 104 right now. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. More action coming in Albini's way, actually, early on. But there is two-way action coming into this fight, and there will be, continue to be, because I think a lot of people kind of view this fight as a head-scratcher. And it is, honestly, it really is. I mean, Albini, in my opinion, man, the guy has some talent. He's got some size for the division, of course. He's got some knockout power. He's got some ground. I mean, it's a shame that he's on this three-fight losing streak. And you know, outside of his UFC debut win against Timothy Johnson, the guy's looked terrible. His decision loss to Arlovsky, the guy didn't really fight. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then, of course, Olenek and his last fight against Rozenstruik, just disappointments. I mean, he had his moments, I guess, in that Rozenstruik fight, but just he blew it. And I think that's the type of fighter you're seeing with him. I know he's changed camps and he's getting better training right now. I just don't trust the guy. I really think Maurice Greene, even though Albini's capable of winning this fight, I think Maurice Greene will probably catch him along the way, and Albini will make another mistake. I mean, Greene does have some attributes in this fight. He's going to be longer. I think he's a little bit more dangerous even off his back. If you put Greene on his back, which I think Albini's going to try to do, which he can probably accomplish. I mean, Greene, you got to watch out for his triangle chokes, his arm bars, submissions. The guy is getting harder to take down, though. I got to give him some credit. He's improving for sure since the Ultimate Fighter show. It's nice of him to actually get back on track and kind of redeem a loss that he has against Jeff Hughes recently as well. So I just think Green is a big, difficult guy to handle. I mean, he does have some striking. He's got some knockout power, of course, on the feet as well. He's got a decent clinch game. And again, if you get him on the ground, I mean, he's not easy to deal with on the ground either. So this is, again, a winnable fight for Albini, and I almost want to pick him to win. But at the same time, in a three-round fight, as it goes from what we've seen from him lately, I just can't trust him to win. I think Green's going to come to win. I trust him. He's more game. I think Green, honestly, is more of a winner in this spot. So I trust him, and I'm going to lean a little bit towards Green, but this is definitely a difficult fight to bet. So those of you guys out there that are kind of, again, scratching your heads, wondering which way to go, probably sit back and just watch it unfold. But anything else, I mean, it's just kind of tough. I want to see these guys kind of make some improvements and kind of show up. So either way, I want to see an impressive performance from one of these guys, and I'm going to think that it's Green getting it done. So my pick is Green to get the W over Albini and probably inside the distance.
And I'm going to go with Maurice Greene here. I mean, neither of these guys are particularly reliable, but it just feels like Greene is a little bit more consistent. Greene is bigger, longer. Albini does have heavy hands, and, you know, he entered the UFC on this big knockout streak, and then he wins his first fight by knockout, and people were raving about him. I think, you know, he was almost ranked right in the top 15 immediately, and then he has just fallen off the face of the earth. He just hasn't looked the same. It feels like he finds ways to lose fights that he could win. You know, he takes on Olenek, a guy that clearly just wants this fight to go to the floor and get a submission, and doesn't let his hands go. The fight goes to the ground. He gets submitted. You know, takes on Rozenstruik, gets a takedown, and then, you know, can't do anything with it and eventually gets knocked out on the feet. So, it just feels like Albini has the ability, but it just hasn't been able to put it together. Green, you know, he's a decent athlete. He's big. He's long. I think he pushes a decent pace. I think even though Albini has heavy hands and is capable of scoring a knockout, Green probably has the edge on the feet just because he's going to be throwing a little bit more. He's going to be using that size and reach a little bit. He'll be moving forward. I think he'll force Albini to fight off of his back foot, and that's really not where he likes to be. He likes to be the aggressor. Albini maybe looks to take this to the ground. He did get a takedown his last time out, but I don't really think he has anything particularly special about his ground game either. So I think Green would have the edge if and when it goes to the ground as well. So I just think the inconsistency with Albini, and especially just the recent performances, have just made me lose all confidence in him. So even though Green, I don't think, is that good of a heavyweight, I mean, I picked him to lose his last fight, and he walked away with a close decision win. I don't think Green will win impressively, but I think that he can get the job done and win a decision. So I'm going to side with Maurice Green. Now, dropping all the way down to the women's strawweight division, we have Emily Whitmire, who is 4-2, taking on Amanda Ribas, who is 6-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Whitmire opened -305, the comeback on Ribas at +225. There has been some movement on this fight. Right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is actually Whitmire all the way down to -175. The comeback on Ribas is at +155. So needless to say, Ribas getting some dog action. She's been out of the game for a while. I mean, she's definitely a talented fighter. I mean, she's had a lot of her fights in Brazil. Okay resume, you know, coming in. I would like to see her have a little bit more experience over better competition overall, but that's what you get sometimes with Brazilian fighters. But Ribas overall, she's a pretty solid fighter. I mean, she's more, in my opinion, of a BJJ ground specialist. That's her best attributes, but she does have some knockout wins. And a lot of them, like I said, at times it's from her getting top position and, you know, dropping some bombs and ground and pound and sort of thing, more so than standing out and just blasting people for knockouts. But she does have some capable submission skill, especially off her back as well. I mean, I was impressed. You got to be very careful with Ribas when you do get her down, because she is, that's the thing. Her takedown defense definitely needs some improvement. She does have a good head and arm throw, so she likes to counter kind of with a wizard and then try to go for that takedown. So you got to be cautious about that. And then, like I said, once she's on her back, she does throw some legs up for arm bars and triangle chokes, as well, and that sort of thing. So you definitely have to be cautious, but outside of that, I mean, I think if she doesn't catch Whitmire here, I mean, again, with the time off and the matchup, I think for her is going to be difficult, because Whitmire has some pretty good wrestling. I think Whitmire is going to be a little bit faster on the feet. I think she's coming into her own right now. I mean, if you look, she displayed a couple fights back, she displayed her boxing. Her boxing's definitely gotten a lot better. In my opinion, Whitmire is one of these girls that had a better ground game, you know, utilized her wrestling, ground and pound sort of thing, more so than anything else. But against Jamie Moyle, she started displaying a little bit more boxing skill, and she started getting, I think, a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more flowing on the feet in that fight as well. And then she did time some good time takedowns along the way to help her secure that win. Then against Albu, she just came out there and just steamrolled her and got the submission win early in that fight as well. So you see some confidence growing in Whitmire fight by fight, and I just think she's on a different level right now than Ribas. So Ribas, with her time off, I think she can definitely be a talented fighter. I'm glad the UFC has her on roster, but with Whitmire's momentum right now and the stylistic matchup, I think it's going to be a difficult one. I think Ribas is only way she gets the job done here again is catching Whitmire in a sub, and it's happened to Whitmire before. Now, I think you know, the people that have caught Whitmire in subs are a little bit better and a little bit more dangerous than Rebus on the floor. So I think Whitmire can avoid getting submitted here. And if she can, I think she can probably get top position more so on the ground. And I think she can win some stand-up exchanges in with her speed and her movement on the feet a little bit more as well. So I like this fight for Whitmire. I think she's just the better fighter. And outside of her getting caught by some kind of crazy submission, I don't think she loses this fight. So in my opinion, it's her fight to win or lose, and I'm going to pick her to win. And again, early action coming in on Rebus, I get it. I mean, at the opening dog price, but right now I think it's a favorite or pass situation, and Whitmire is the side.
I've definitely going to go on record here and say that I've underestimated Emily Whitmire so far in her UFC career. I really didn't think that she was that great, and she may not be great, but she's definitely better than I've given her credit for. She has improved ground game, improved stand up. She can take fights to the ground with her decent wrestling, and she's pretty big for the 115-pound division, having fought in flyweight for the Ultimate Fighter. So it seems like the move to 115 has really been a big boost for Whitmire's career prospects, and she's taken full advantage. Now, obviously, she has had her issues against really strong grapplers in the past, and Rebus does have some good grappling. The difference here is, you know, Rebus needs to get top position, and I just don't know how she's going to be able to get that, because, Whitmire is going to be bigger, stronger. Whitmire has, the better wrestling. So if it does go to the floor, I think Whitmire will be in top position. Rebus will have to be trying to pull something off from her back, whether it's an armbar or, omoplata or, you know, triangle choke or something like that. Because if it does go to the ground, Whitmire should be in control. And I really thought that Whitmire looked tremendous in that last bout against Albu, quickly dispatching her and choking her out in just about a minute. And that was a fighter that had some good power and was a good athlete, and Whitmire just steamrolled her. So against Rebus here, yeah, Rebus is a talented grappler, but she also hasn't fought in about 3 years because of a USADA violation. So that is something to be concerned about. And I don't really think that she's that good on the feet. It feels like, she's a little stiff in the stand-up. Rebus is very upright. And when she does try to get the fights to the floor, I mean, it's nothing impressive. Like, she doesn't have a powerful double leg or anything. It's more head and arm throws. So I think it'll be difficult for Rebus to get the fight to where she needs to be, because where she's strongest is top position. She has good ground and pound, but I just don't see her being able to utilize that. So overall, I just think Whitmire's the more well-rounded fighter. She's better on the feet. She has better wrestling. And I don't think Rebus will be able to utilize her grappling. So I think Whitmire wins a decision here. So Whitmire's going to be my pick. Now, moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Dalcha Lungiambula, who is 9-1, taking on Daquan Townsend, who is 21-8. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Dalcha opened -230, the comeback on Townsend at +170. And right now, looking over at BetDSI, we're seeing Dalcha at -310, the comeback on Townsend at +235. So line margins have tightened up. More action coming in on champion Dalcha's way. Called champion, obviously, than his nickname where he comes from. In South Africa in the league, he's a double champ, actually. Another champ coming in, making his UFC debut. And there's a lot to like about Dalcha. I'll tell you what, man. He's a powerful guy. He's got that kind of shorter, stocky frame for the weight class. Judo black belt. He's got power on the feet. He's kind of your patient and methodical type of striker as well. I mean, just a lot of ability and a lot of, I think, potential in his game. Again, with that short, stocky frame that delivers punishment, has good takedown game. I think he's tough. Cardio at times can be an issue. I mean, he does tend to slow down, but he's the type of fighter that when he slows down into round two, round three, he can still finish the fight. So he's got that kind of finishing ability. And if not, he can obviously grind you out and out decision you and outlast you in that way. So he's got a ton of heart, a lot to like about Dalcha. Now, Townsend's stepping in on short notice, of course. He's a very skilled fighter as well. I mean, he's dangerous. He's tall. He's going to be long and skilled for the division overall. He's going to actually have some decent striking ability, some decent ground ability as well. I mean, he does go for some takedowns, has some good ground and pound. He's got some submission ability, but more so than not, he's going to want to probably keep this fight upright in the space unless he can get Dalcha on the ground and get top position in that route. But I don't see that happening. In my opinion here, I just think Townsend, even though he's a capable, dangerous fighter, he's a little bit too slow. I think he's just outclassed here by Dalcha. I think Dalcha is going to be able to land on him. I think if he wants to get top position, Dalcha will be able to get top position as well. Townsend does tend to have some difficulties with his takedown defense, and I just don't think he's got the submission ability to be much of a threat on the ground either. So even though Townsend is a very dangerous opponent, and I don't think Dalcha could take him lightly, and at the current price, not easy to just jump in there, you know, with a UFC debuting fighter and lay that kind of 3-1 chalk. But I do understand why people came in originally at that 230 price and bet him up, because I do think Dalcha is going to win this fight, and I think he's going to win it decisively, honestly, as well. Probably gets a finish before it ends. If not, if Townsend can hang in there despite the short notice and survive to see the scorecards, I think it's going to be a unanimous decision anyway, loss for him. So Dalcha is going to be impressive here. I think he wins in kind of a highlight reel fashion, and watch out for him. I mean, I think he's a nice addition to the light heavyweight weight class. I would like to see him actually try if he could potentially drop to 185 pounds and make that weight cut as well. Wouldn't be bad. But again, keep your eye out on Dalcha. I think there's some good things coming from him, and I'm going to pick him to win this fight here.
And I'm right with you. Dalcha is a very talented fighter. I mean, the guy kind of reminds me of Hector Lombard. He has that judo base. He's very powerful. He's stocky. He's undersized for his weight class. While he does have a ton of punching power, he also, you know, sits back and kind of waits for those moments to use it. So, it's a very Lombard-like skill set. And, Daquan Townsend, even though he's fought at lower weight classes, he's actually going to have some pretty good size here. With Dalcha being, you know, an undersized light heavyweight at 5'10", and Townsend being at 6'3", the problem is that Townsend doesn't use his size at all when he fights. I mean, if you watch any of his fights in like the local Michigan circuit, he's just swinging aggressively, throws himself off balance. As long as Dalcha can avoid that first big shot that Townsend throws at him, Dalcha will have no problem getting inside and, looking to connect on the feet. And, Dalcha also, you know, he aggressively can look for takedowns at times too. I mean, even though he's undersized, he is extremely strong. So he can shoot in with a power double leg. He can, toss people from the clinch. He has trips. I mean, he has pretty good ability to take fights to the canvas. And when he is in top position, he can do some damage. He has some pretty good ground and pound. I mean, what's funny is, you know, Nick mentioned he's a double champ, and you would think a super undersized, light heavyweight would be a champ at 185 and 205, but he was actually a double champ at 205 and then moved up to heavyweight and took on the heavyweight champion in the EFC in South Africa and won that by split decision against a very big, strong guy that had about 50 pounds on him. So. And as Nick mentioned, I would like to see down the road Dalcha drop to 185. I mean, he consistently comes in below 205 weighing in for his fights. So, I mean, he should be able to make 185 easy. He probably doesn't even cut weight hardly. So, I think that is something down the road that would be to his benefit, but I don't think it's going to be a problem here. I mean, Townsend, while he does have some power, Dalcha, as long as he can avoid that first strike, should be able to get inside and connect. And then when Dalcha does look for takedowns, Townsend does have a decent guillotine choke, but as long as Dalcha can avoid getting tapped out quickly with an instant guillotine, then Dalcha should be able to get things going on the ground, because Townsend is not very good off of his back. Dalcha has shown some weakness in terms of somebody pushing a high pace against him. He can wear down, and if he does get put on his back, with a strong top control wrestler, he can be in trouble, but Townsend doesn't really have either of those strengths. So I really don't see a path to victory for Townsend other than connecting with a big shot or, you know, a fluke, guillotine if Dalcha leaves his neck exposed. So I think Dalcha steamrolls this one, honestly. He could win by knockout on the feet, TKO on the ground, maybe even a submission along the way. So I'm going to side with Dalcha. Now, dropping down to the featherweight division, Now, dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Jared Gordon, who is 14-3, taking on Dan Moret, who is 13-5. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Gordon open -275, Moret +195. And right now, looking over at BetDSI, we're seeing Gordon all the way up to -323. The comeback on Moret at +279. So line merges have tightened up again. More action coming in Gordon's way. Not really that surprised. I mean, honestly, both these guys are talented. Both these guys have skill. Moret, I think he's a bit underrated, to be honest with you. It's unfortunate for him. I mean, he's had two very tough, you know, fights in the UFC thus far. Of course, the first one, especially against Gilbert Burns. And then Alex White is kind of one of those guys that fly under the radar, underrated at times. And he can be a tough out, despite people respecting him or not. He doesn't get the respect factor that Gilbert Burns has, of course. But what I'm saying is, I mean, Moret is definitely a talented fighter. I think overall, he has good experience even pre-UFC. So he's faced some very solid competition. He's one of these LFA guys that, I mean, has been training, you know, for years and years with solid competition and has really showed the skill set to be a UFC fighter, no doubt, and belong on roster. But he's got another tough matchup here in Jared Gordon. I think that's definitely difficult for him because I think Gordon, at where Moret is his best, I think Gordon can probably trump that a little bit. And again, talk about another guy that's had some tough fights. I mean, Gordon hasn't had it easy with Ferreira and Silva and back-to-back losses here. So he needs to definitely get back on track and rebound. And I think he can here. I think he's going to be the aggressor. I think he's going to be the harder hitter on the feet. I think on – as far as wrestling goes, Gordon could probably take the fight to the ground and get top control there as well. And I don't think he gets caught in a submission by Moret. But as the fight progresses, I mean, Gordon defensively does have some flaws. And I think Moret is probably a bit underrated here. And where the current line is now, by the way, I wouldn't touch it. I mean, I get it. I understand that people are liking Gordon here. I agree. I think he's going to probably win that fight. I just think his toughness, his aggression is just going to take control. He'll have ring control. He'll be landing the harder shots. But I think Moret's going to be game. And again, he'll have his moments in the fight. And that could cost Gordon, again, if he makes a mistake or as the fight progresses, he gets tagged up a little bit. It defensively makes, you know, again, just a flaw or error and gets caught up in something. So I don't think it's going to happen in this fight again. I think this is a different type of scenario for Gordon. I think it's definitely a winnable fight, and I think he's going to get it done. But I wouldn't lay the 3-1 chalk, so I would stay away from it at this point. Might even be a little bit of value on Moret, but for me, it's more of a pass situation here. So the pick is Gordon. Again, I think it's kind of a must-win fight, really, for both of these guys. But I think the expectations were a lot higher for Gordon at this point. So it does bode well for him to obviously get the win and stay on the roster here with the W over Moret. So the pick is Gordon, and I think he does get it done here.
And I'm with Gordon as well. I just feel like this is a bad stylistic matchup for Moret. Gordon has his flaws, as evidenced by, you know, the knockout loss, but I don't think Moret really has the skill set to take advantage of those flaws. Gordon actually is a decent striker on the feet. He pushes a good pace, and on the feet, he should have the edge here. Moret really doesn't have that much punching power, so even if he's able to get anything going on the feet, I don't see him putting Gordon in any trouble. Gordon is the superior wrestler of the two. Moret is a very talented grappler, but I just don't see Moret being able to put Gordon in any bad positions, because if it goes to the floor, Gordon should be in top position, and on the feet, Gordon should have the edge. Gordon should be pushing the tempo on the feet. And Moret doesn't seem to have the power to punish Gordon for any of his defensive flaws or the potential weakness with his durability. So really, the only way I see Moret winning is if he's able to somehow put Gordon on his back or sweep Gordon if it goes to the floor and get top position, or try to catch Gordon with something, because, you know, he is a little long and lanky on the ground. And he can be a little tricky there, so he could make something happen if this goes to the canvas, but I don't really like that his chances. So I like Gordon here. He should have a big edge just about everywhere. So Gordon is my pick. I think he wins by decision. Now, moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Eric Anders, who is 11-3, taking on Vinicius Castro, who is 9-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Anders open -245. The comeback on Maria +175. Vinicius Maria, that is. So right now, currently over at BetDSI, we are seeing Anders at -294. Vinicius Maria at +257. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. More action coming in Anders' way. Man, this is a tough one. I mean, it's a tough one because Anders is a declined fighter, it seems. And I can't believe it, honestly. I know he's been bouncing back and forth between 185 and 205, and he's had some tough fights. I mean, the UFC is definitely not giving this guy many breaks here. I mean, how they matched him up. But it's, you know what? He's the one that's stepping up to the plate, taking the fights. You got to give him a lot of credit for that. But, I mean, he's definitely on a decline at this point right now with those tough fights. I mean, it seems to me like his striking is getting a little bit worse. His wrestling is getting a little bit worse. His conditioning is getting a little bit worse. And again, against all solid competition, but he's lost four out of his last five fights. And this is a guy that really did have a lot of potential, in my opinion. I mean, a former athlete, of course, football player. We all know the background there. I mean, just the ability that he has and the potential that he had really at 185 pounds, I thought he could get himself as a top tier potentially title contender type of fighter, but that's not the case. And I don't think it's going to get any better for Anders. Now, he does have a winnable fight here against Moreira. I think this is definitely a type of fight that he must win this fight. I mean, there's no question that his back's up against this wall in this spot here. And again, it's at light heavyweight. This is a winnable fight because I think his speed, his athleticism again is going to come into play here. And Moreira's best path to victory is definitely getting the fight to the ground. On the ground, I mean, that's what he does his best work. He's a ground specialist. He's capable of submitting you off his back, of course, from top position as well. That's what he wants to do here. He's going to be bigger. Strength-wise, I mean, he's definitely a strong fighter. On the feet, I mean, again, it's kind of like he's one of these kind of slower plotting type of fighters, and I think that's why Anders can really do some damage along the way here. But as the fight progresses, if he can't get Moreira out of there, man, it kind of gets scary a little bit. So I don't have a lot of faith. In my opinion, honestly, Anders is a declining fighter. He's getting worse, and I can't believe it. I think he needs to take a little break. He needs to kind of regroup a little bit. Like I said, I expect him to get this win, but maybe he does more of that a little bit and take a little bit more of a hiatus after he gets back on track, get some confidence and just kind of heal up and kind of regroup and try to make another run here because he's not getting any younger, that's for sure. So with all that said, Anders should get the finish here. He should get the win, and he should bounce back. So hopefully he gets it because, like I said, it's just a shame that, you know, he's had that much potential. We're seeing him lose like he has been recently as well, even if it is just a solid competition. So he should not lose to a guy like Moreira. And again, no disrespect to Moreira. I just think that in this type of matchup, it's going to be a hard one for him to win. So unless he could get him on the ground and submit him, I think he's going to probably get knocked out by Anders. So the pick is Anders, probably by KO.
Yeah, I'll keep this one kind of sweet and simple. First off, I would like Anders to stop fighting at 205 pounds. I mean, most of the guys at 205 are just longer, bigger, better strikers. They could just beat him up. You saw that in the Roundtree fight. I mean, he got exposed there. But this is a very winnable fight, that being said. Anders has definitely taken his licks at 205 pounds. But Moreira is a guy that is not a good striker at all. I mean, he is stiff, he's slow, he doesn't have very good defense. So as long as Anders can keep this upright, I mean, it should be only a matter of time until he gets a knockout in the first round. But Moreira is a talented grappler. So as Nick mentioned, so if he can get this to the floor, maybe he can make something happen. But this feels like it was even though Anders is stepping in on short notice, it feels like this is a very, very winnable fight for Anders. It felt like, you know, Dolidze, Moreira's original opponent, was somebody that they were kind of bringing in to look good. And now, instead, it's going to be an opportunity for Anders. So, yeah, like I said, just very winnable fight for Anders. I think he bounces back in a big way here and gets a quality victory. And, Moraes is just not very good, and he's really only able to get things going if he can get it to the floor, and I think Anders has more than enough takedown defense to avoid Moraes getting it to the canvas. So Moreira is probably going to get knocked out in the first round, so Anders is my pick. Now, moving on to the main event of the preliminary card, we have Ricardo Ramos, who is 12-2, taking on UFC newcomer Jurny Newsome, who is 9-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Ramos open minus 305 to come back on Newsome, 225, so plus 225. And right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is currently Ramos minus 333. Newsome plus 288 is the current line over at BetDSI. So a little bit more actually coming in Ramos's way. This is another tough spot here. I mean, because Ramos is obviously supposed to win this fight. He's the established veteran. I mean, he's coming off of a definitely a disappointing loss, and he's facing a guy that's stepping in on short notice that's relatively unknown to him. So that has a little bit of skill, honestly. So this is a good fight. And especially, like I said, mentally, I think for Ramos, more than anything else, is going to be interesting to see how I mean, he just comes back in and gets, you know, back on track, because he definitely had a lot of hype going about him. I mean, he's very young, 23 years old. The skill set that this guy has, I mean, he definitely has some length for the division at bantamweight. He's got some striking skill to go along with it. Obviously, he's got a very good ground game, takedown defense, submission skill. So he is your prototypical complete fighter who's young and proving and could really be a legit title contender one day. So that was a big setback that he had in his loss to Nurmagomedov, which was a surprising loss. I mean, Nurmagomedov looked amazing in that fight. I mean, he really did. It only lasted, of course, at midway through round one, but I mean, while it lasted, wow, that was amazing. Like I said, I was impressed because of how easy he just kind of dismantled Ramos in that fight. So with all that said, that's why it's a bit of a surprise. I mean, he's coming back into this fight again, coming back after that loss, and he's facing a guy that's unknown. And I think that Newsom does present some problems for Ramos. Even though Ramos is the more technically sound fighter of the two, for sure, I think across, I mean, all aspects of the game, Ramos is the better fighter, but Newsom does have a little bit of punching power. He does have some grappling skill. I mean, that's what his base was more than anything else originally. And he's gotten, to work and improved his overall game. Newsom has. So he's got a BJJ, background. Of course, he's a ground specialist, but he does have that kind of stocky build that he does have a little bit of punching power. He digs the body. He's improved his boxing. He has some boxing experience now as well. So there's a lot to like about Newsom, and I'm glad he's stepping in here and taking this fight on short notice and getting a shot in the UFC, because I think he's going to win some fights on roster here. But this is a tough fight. I mean, making your debut against a guy that could potentially be, again, a title contender that pretty much outclasses you in all aspects of the game. I think Newsom's going to have to dig deep here to get the W. I mean, he's going to have to definitely put some power in his hands and try to keep this fight upright if he's going to get the job done, because I think the takedown game and the ground game is going to be difficult to accomplish here against Ramos. So even though Newsom has some ability there, I think his best path to victory, honestly, in this matchup here, especially in short notice, is basically trying to blitz Ramos and just throw that, you know, throw those hands, throw that power, and try to get him out of there early. So it might not be a good game plan. He might gas a little bit. With all signs pointing to Ramos getting the W here, it's hard not to like him. So I'm going to pick him to win. But where the current line is right now at around 3-1, I wouldn't lay it, honestly. It's a dog or pass situation simply because, again, there's a lot of question marks surrounding Ramos coming off that devastating loss. And Newsom does have a little bit of power and grappling ability. So I would stay away from this fight right now and just kind of sit back and see how Ramos performs and bounces back here in this spot. So I think it'll be an exciting fight. Looking forward to it. But the pick is definitely Ramos to get the W here.
Yeah, and I'm going to side with Ramos as well. I just feel like, you know, this is a guy that entered the UFC and performed very well, picking up quality victories over Tanaka, Zahabi, Kang. Yeah, he ran into some trouble that last time against Saeed Nurmagomedov, but I still believe in Ramos. I think that he's, you know, pretty talented just about everywhere. Just a solid, well-rounded fighter. And you also have to remember that Newsom is coming in on short notice. And I just feel like this is going to be a tough matchup for him, to be honest. You know, he's replacing Sergio Pettis. So that, I mean, that kind of shows the level of where they thought Ramos could be competing, that he was going to be taking on Sergio, and, now Newsom stepping in. So, it just feels like, you know, Newsom has some big shoes to fill here, and I don't think he's capable of filling them. Newsom has some talent on the canvas, but Ramos is a pretty good grappler in his own right and was able to hold his own against really dangerous ground fighters in Tanaka and Kang. And Ramos is the superior striker, I think, to Newsom, although, as Nick mentioned, Newsom does have some pop in his hands. But for the most part, Newsom is looking to get finishes on the canvas. And if Kang and Tanaka couldn't tap out Ramos and ended up losing decisions to Ramos, I really feel like Newsom is not going to be the guy that gets a submission against Ramos. So I feel like Ramos should have the edge in just about every facet of this fight. And I don't think Newsom can make something happen on the ground. So I think it's just a matter of time before Ramos wins a potentially stoppage, but At the worst, I think he wins a decision here. So my pick is going to be Ramos by decision. Now, moving on to the main card, we have a light heavyweight contest between Alonzo Menifield, who is 8-0, taking on Paul Craig, who is 11-3. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Menifield minus 265, Craig plus 185. That was the opener. And right now, what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Menifield minus 270, the comeback on Craig plus 234. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. Two actually coming into this fight. I mean, you got to respect Craig in this spot. I know that, I mean, the public opinion or the popular opinion will probably be Menifield rolls in this fight. And I honestly believe he does too. I think this is a really good fight for him, but Craig is a dangerous fighter. You got to respect him. I mean, he's had some late finishes. He just showed that he could pull stuff out of his hat. I mean, unbelievable. That's what he does best, obviously, is his ground game. You know, he's got obviously a pretty good submission game. He's capable of finishing, like I said, late in fights as well, fights that he's losing. You just can't sleep on this guy. I mean, on the feet, he does have a little bit of power as well, a little bit of unorthodox striking skill, so he's a little weird in that regard. And again, he has shown some toughness. I mean, he's not just a guy you're going to, you know, go in there and walk through. But I just think he's going to be kind of a sitting duck here. If he can't get this fight to the ground against Menifield, and Menifield should be able to control where this fight goes. I mean, Menifield is an explosive athlete. I think he's going to be able to use his speed and athletic ability, again, to just – blast Craig on the feet and get the job done, honestly, with damage. And if he gets top position, I think he could deliver some punishment, obviously ground and pound. Now, of course, he has to know that Craig is obviously very dangerous, even off his back, and he's capable of pulling stuff out like that. So, I mean, he's going to have to be cautious there. But Menifield does have a pretty solid ground game that we've seen thus far as well overall. So I think he's just a pretty well put together fighter, and I think he's smart enough to realize that his best advantage here is honestly keeping space a little bit. Even though Craig is going to have a little bit of length overall, I think Menifield is going to be the more explosive fighter, the one that can close the distance, land a little bit more damage on the feet. And again, if he beats him up, starts doing some damage, I think Craig is going to be less likely to have his way on the ground as well. So Menifield probably gets top position and then drops some ground and pound and maybe even finishes along the way. So I do think this is a fight that Menifield can knock him out on the feet, do enough damage, like I said, maybe even by ground and pound on the ground as well. So it's his fight to win or lose. And I do like this guy. I mean, he's an undefeated prospect that, in my opinion, can definitely make a run and go a long way as well. So there's a lot to like about Menifield. This is just kind of another stepping stone type of fight to let heavyweight for him to see where he goes over a kind of dangerous opponent. But it's hard not to like Menifield here. So I wouldn't go out there and just recommend, you know, going out there, throwing him in a bunch of parlays or whatnot. Because again, this is kind of a step up against a guy that's game and he's going to come to fight and to beard you, Paul Craig here. But with all that said, I still don't like his chances in this fight. I think Menifield's explosiveness is going to come through and he probably gets Craig out of there. So the pick is Menifield, but as far as odds go, you know, around 3-1, I would probably stay away. It doesn't scream come at me, and, you know, there's not a lot of value with Menifield at that price. So another spot where you stay away from it. I mean, from top to bottom so far, this card hasn't been the easiest to bet. I mean, according to where the lines are and the matchups and stylistically how everything's playing out so far. So it's going to be one of those cards that I think it's not going to have a lot of value out there, but just pick your spots, be disciplined, and see where things, you know, kind of open up along the way before, obviously, the fights take place. But my pick for this fight is Menifield to get the W and probably by KO.
Yeah, Paul Craig, I mean, if you look at his most recent fights, he is very close to losing five in a row. You know, he got finished twice in the first round, and then in his last three fights, they have all ended by finish in the final minute of the third round. Two of them, he pulled off triangle chokes in the final minute, and the other one, he was finished in the final minute. So, and in the two that he pulled off the miracle submissions, he was losing those fights. So he very well could be on a five-fight losing streak if not for, you know, pulling those last-minute submissions out. That being said, Craig is a dangerous ground fighter, and if Menifield is not careful, he could get caught with something, but I think Menifield is going to be really smart here. I mean, the guy is crazy powerful, very strong striker, and has showcased pretty good takedown defense so far throughout his career. So As long as he can keep this upright and keep Paul Craig at the end of his punches, he wins by knockout in the first minute, potentially. I mean, this guy has scary power. But if Craig is able to get a hold of him, drag this to the floor, or if Menefield somehow even gets top position, because Craig can pull off those triangle chokes from his back, that's just always going to be a threat with Craig. So as long as Craig has not been finished in the fight, he's going to be a threat. But I do think that at some point in this fight, Menefield catches Craig, Craig gets hurt, and Menefield puts Craig out. But if even if Craig gets hurt and Menefield follows him to the canvas, he could get himself in some trouble because, like I said, you know, Craig, he just has this ability to submit people. So that being said, I do think Menefield wins by knockout probably in the first round. That's the most likely outcome, but you just can't count Paul Craig out because he's surprised me on multiple occasions so far, and he could surprise me again. But my pick is going to be Menefield. Now, dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Drew Dober, who is 20-9 with one no contest, taking on Marco Polo Reyes, who is 8-6. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Dober opened -350 to come back on Reyes at +250. And right now, looking over at BetDSI, we are seeing Dober at -323, the comeback on Rise +279. So line margins, again, tighten up a little bit to actually coming into this fight. Line seems appropriately set. I mean, look, you got to respect Rise off the rip. I mean, this guy has enough power to get this fight over with, honestly. I mean, Dober defensively at times, you can't trust him. I mean, he's definitely hittable. He's tough. I mean, he definitely overall has a pretty solid chin he's displayed throughout his career. But Reyes has that kind of knockout power that you don't want to absorb too many punches from this guy for sure. I mean, that's what he can definitely do best, I think, overall. Now, the difference in this fight should be the ground. I mean, both these guys can stand and bang. Both these guys have knockout power. Both these guys have finishing ability. I just think that Reyes is probably – I mean, like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if Dober comes out there and knocks Reyes out, but I just think Reyes, that's his best path to victory, probably catching Dober on the feet, stunning him early and putting him out, something like that. I think outside of that, if these guys exchange and it becomes a three-round war, I think Dober will edge that war out, honestly. And more so than anything, though, I think, again, his path to victory for Dober is getting this fight to the ground, using his wrestling, using his ground game. He has a big advantage over Reyes on the ground, and that's really why you're seeing the line so high. So if this was a purely a striking matchup, the line would definitely be a lot tighter because you'd have to respect Reyes. But as far as mixed martial arts overall goes, there's no question Dober is levels ahead of Reyes right now, even though Reyes is getting better. I mean, he's definitely improved quite a bit, and you cannot take this guy lightly. I mean, his takedown defense is getting better. His wrestling is getting better across the board. He's definitely made some improvements, but I don't think it's enough for a guy like Dober. So Dober's looked pretty solid. He keeps on improving. I mean, he's been around the sport for so long, but he's the type of fighter that has taken the game a lot more serious through the last few years, training at a better level for him, and you can see the improvements in his game. So I don't think Dober's ever been better, and unfortunately for Reyes, is probably going to show up in this fight, and he's probably going to get it done. So I expect Dober to win this fight, and you know, possibly on the ground as it goes. He gets position, gets a sub, gets ground and pound, something like that I could see happening. So the pick is Dober. He could probably win on the scorecards as well, but I really think it's his fight to win or lose, and if he loses this fight, it would be a huge disappointment. So the pick is Dober to get the job done here and get the W.
Yeah, these guys are pretty evenly matched on the feet. You know, Dober pushes a pretty heavy pace, but Reyes, you know, if he can keep him on the end of his punches, Reyes is very aggressive and could definitely get things going. I mean, Dober is not as good defensively on the feet, so I mean, if this stays standing, I would favor Reyes, but you have to factor in the ground game because Dober has definitely made that a much bigger part of his arsenal. Dober looks for takedowns now, and Reyes is not that great at defending them. I mean, at just 38% takedown defense. So as long as Dober is aggressive looking for takedowns, I think even though Reyes is the superior striker, Dober can get this to the canvas, get top position, and potentially win a decision that way. But, I mean, if it stays standing, it's going to be competitive, but I would definitely lean Reyes. But considering this is an MMA fight and you can get takedowns, Drew Dober's improvements in his wrestling should help put him over the top here and allow him to win at least a decision. So my pick is going to be Dober. Now, sticking with the lightweight division, we have Roosevelt Roberts, who is 7-0, taking on Vince Pichel, who is 11-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Roberts open -215, Pichel +165. Right now, over at BetDSI, we are seeing Roberts -294, the comeback on Pichel +252. So again, line margins have tightened up a little bit. More action coming in Roberts' way. Man, Roberts is another serious prospect. I mean, that you'd love to see the UFC sign, and what he's able to do so far in his short UFC career has been pretty impressive as well. From the Contender Series to the Ultimate Fighter to, you know, his last fight against Thomas Gifford, the guy has some skill. I mean, the guy has some finishing ability. I talk about athleticism. He's got some length for the weight class as well. A lot to like about him. I mean, I think he's explosive on the feet. He's fun to watch. Strike. I mean, he's capable of doing some really good things. He's going to have a little bit of reach over Pichel here. So, but I think it's his youth. I mean, he's 12 years younger. I mean, you got to point that out as well. And that's going to be to his advantage for sure. Cause Pichel, obviously he's had a lot of more wear and tear. He's had a lot more injuries throughout his career. And you know, so I think Roberts is the fresher fighter for sure. He's got the young, you know, the younger, hungrier kind of aspect going for him as well. So a lot to like about Roberts, and he's a well-rounded fighter as well. He's got some good wrestling. He has been taken down, obviously. I mean, that might be his weakness here in this spot, especially against Pichel, because I think Pichel is a very talented fighter. Obviously, if you look at his striking, he has a capability in the boxing to knock people out. Pichel has done that, but that's not the part that he wants to go. That's not the way he wants to go here against Roberts. Roberts is more explosive. I think Roberts will actually bust Pichel up if that's the case on the feet and have his way with him. So I think Pichel's path to victory really is getting the fight to the ground and kind of try to out wrestle Roberts and control him and kind of grind him out and get a win, like he's capable of doing in the past against other strikers as well. So that's Pichel's best path to victory, and I think he's capable of possibly doing that. Roberts has to be careful. Roberts also has some sneaky good submission skills, but the problem here is, I mean, Pichel overall has some really good submission defense. I know he lost his last fight by sub, but you know what? I mean, in my opinion, you can't really count that against him too all that bad. I think Gillespie is one of the best, you know, fighters at lightweight there is that's kind of flying under the radar right now and potentially a UFC champion. So that's the kind of caliber he is. So I don't think that was necessarily a bad loss for Pichel, but outside of that, I mean, he's not an easy guy to submit. So I don't think Roberts is going to have an easy time doing so. I think it's going to be a war, and I think Roberts is going to be able to bust Pichel up enough and stay off his back enough that he's going to probably get the job done here and get either a late finish or I think a decision win over Pichel. But again, at the current price, it's not an easy fight to bet because Pichel has a clear path, and that is just getting takedowns repeatedly. I don't think it's going to be the case. I think it's going to be too difficult for Pichel to keep that up. So I think Roberts is going to be okay here, and I think he does get the win. But another tough fight to bet. I would not lay close to 3-1 on Roberts over a guy that's a veteran in Pichel. I just think, again, stylistically, the way they match up, probably not a smart move. So the pick is Roberts. I do hope he gets the win, and I keep, you know, I hope to see him keep climbing the ladder and see what we can, you know, expect from him in the future. So hopefully he gets it done here. And it's hard to kind of pick against him in this spot, honestly. So my pick is Roberts.
And I can understand the Roberts pick. I mean, he looked terrific in his UFC debut. The guy has a very intriguing skill set. He has good size for the lightweight division at 6'2", good length, and it looked like he can use that length. If you watch that UFC debut, he had a nice jab going, some good straight punches. So on the feet, he should definitely have the edge against Vince Pichel. And then when people do kind of look to take fights to the floor, he has a really nasty guillotine choke, and he uses those long arms well. So he could potentially catch Pichel with something if Pichel, like, haphazardly is shooting in for takedowns. And then overall with the stand-up, I would say that Pichel is not a terrible striker. So I think Pichel can hold his own in the stand-up, but I would definitely favor Roberts just because I think I like his straight punching style a little bit better. Neither guy is particularly great defensively, but what can make a huge difference in this fight, as Nick mentioned, is what happens with the wrestling, because Pichel looks to get about 4 takedowns per fight. Pichel is a pretty accurate takedown artist, and Pichel You know, while Roberts has shown 100% takedown defense so far, I mean, he really hasn't faced a great wrestler. So this fight is entirely going to boil down to, in my opinion, whether or not Roberts is able to fend off Pichel's takedowns. And if he can do that, I think he wins. If he doesn't, Pichel could absolutely ride this fight out and win a decision. So I think the line in this fight is just way off. I mean, yeah, Roberts is a talented, undefeated fighter, but people are seriously underestimating Vince Pichel here. He could absolutely win this fight if he can get takedowns and keep Roberts on his back and avoid the guillotine choke or any other kind of sneaky submission attacks that Roberts can throw at him. So I definitely feel like, you know, this is a lot closer than the betting odds indicate, but I am leaning Roberts because I do like what he showed me in that UFC debut. But Vince Pichel is a definite step up for him, and Pichel is a talented takedown artist. So if Pichel is able to get those takedowns going, he can absolutely play spoiler here. And I think there actually is some value on Pichel at the current price for sure. So I'm going to pick Roberts, but I think the value's on Pichel. Now, moving up to the welterweight division, we have Damian Maia, who is 26-9, taking on Tony Rocco Martin, who is 16-4. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Maia open -195, the comeback on Martin at +155. And right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is currently Maia -182, the comeback on Martin at +160. So line merchants have tightened up. Two-way action coming into this fight. It's been bouncing up and down a little bit as well. Maia climbed up a little while. Now we're starting to see more action coming in Martin's way as well. I'll tell you what, man. Martin has looked really, really good. It's hard not to like what you've seen as far as improvements go. I mean, he's a different version of the fighter that made his UFC debut for sure. Even, you know, in the lighter weight divisions, of course, he's moved up to welterweight, I'm saying, since. And he's had a heck of a run so far. I mean, he's beat some very quality, good competition. I mean, Moraes in his last fight, I mean, you could say there's a lot of similarities in that fight than there is this fight against Damian Maia as well, because Moraes obviously is a ground practitioner. That's what it, you know, his best path to victory is over a guy like Martin. And Martin was able to, you know, outstrike him, keep the fight where he wanted to go, and he looked good doing so. But just not just that. I mean, his win over Matthews, LaFleur, Nakamura. I mean, he is definitely on a roll right now. Confidence at an all-time high. And his striking is getting better. His conditioning is getting better. His takedown defense across the board. I mean, his sub-defense, everything is going well for Martin. Now, of course, I've heard he has a little bit of personal issues. There's some rumors floating around out there coming ahead of this fight as well. So mentally, I'm not sure what's going on with him there. But as far as skill set goes, there's no question. I mean, he's never been better. And he's the UFC obviously getting him in a spot here where if he gets a win over Maia, man, I mean, this could be a career changing win for him over a guy like Maia, of course, because we all know Maia is one of those guys that's just a contender, you know, a welterweight. If you get past Maia, he's a heck of a gatekeeper right now. I mean, you're basically in line for a title shot. So this is where Martin is in this spot. But unfortunately for him, I don't think he can kind of get over that hump and get in that, you know, that realm of a title shot, because I think Maia's going to be a little bit too much for him. Maia's a tough guy. He's not going to be an easy guy to get out of there. If Martin doesn't have exactly that one punch knockout power, I mean, he's capable of doing some damage and maybe getting Maia, catching him maybe by a punch and rocking him or something like that. I'm not saying that. He's going to have some speed and he's definitely going to have the striking advantage over Maia for sure. But Maia typically does find his way to the ground with a lot of these guys that are outside of those elite level or top tier wrestlers that are fighting for, you know, the title or whatnot. Maia typically does get most people to the ground. And once he's on the ground with you, you're in some serious trouble. If he doesn't submit you, which most of the time he does, obviously, he's going to backpack you. He's going to ride you out till, you know, to grind you out until he gets the W on the scorecards as well. So I think Maia does have a path to victory here. I think he does probably sub Martin along the way. Despite all of Martin's improvements, I just think this is a step up that's going to be a little bit too big for him to make here. So I do think Maia gets it done like he typically does, and that's by submission. So for those of you guys that want to find value in this fight, I think Maia by submission, check it out. Look for it out there. I mean, if you can land some plus money on that prop, even around even money, whatever the price, current price may be. I don't have it in front of me, but there's some value Maia by sub, no doubt, because I think that's what he probably does here. So even a straight bet though on Maia getting it done, especially where the price is now, there could be a little bit of value left on Maia. Again, the action might continue to come in on Martin. So time where the line, I guess, movement's going here. If you like Maia, it might you know, could continue to drop. You might be able to get a better price straight out. If not, if you're on the other side and like Martin, I mean, I think it's probably a spot where you might want to jump in now and get some of Martin as well, because the line, like I said, might continue to get worse with all the progression and the hype and the ability and everything around Martin as of late. I think a lot of fans are going to respect that and possibly continue to be that trend coming in his way. So with all that being said, like I said, I really think that Maya gets it done. So the pick is Maya by submission, and there could be some value, especially as the price drops on Maya straight up as well.
Yeah, Martin is somebody that I've been very high on. You know, I thought he'd win his UFC debut, and, you know, he got off to a rough start in his UFC career, but he definitely has turned the corner. Right? He's won 7 of his last 8 fights. He's won 4 in a row since moving up to welterweight. He looks like a player in the division. The problem is, it feels like Damian Maya has the skill set that can really punish Martin here. If you look at how Martin has lost all 4 of his UFC losses, it's pretty much been against people that he was not, where he lost in the grappling department. Even though Martin is a talented grappler in his own right, it seemed against Magomedov, against Dariush, against Leonardo Santos, and then most recently against Olivier Aubin-Mercier in his final fight at lightweight, you know, Martin was taken down. Martin was submitted in 3 of those, or in 2 of those losses. So, those were all really talented grapplers. Now, in his last fight, he faced a very good grappler in, Sergio Moraes, and, you know, Martin dominated. So that is something to consider, but Moraes has really never been known for his, takedowns, his ability to get fights to the floor. So I'm not super worried about that one. But it is something to consider, because, you know, Damian Maya, if he does not get this fight to the ground, he's in big trouble. Martin has showcased an excellent jab, improving stand up, good power. And if he's able to get things going on the feet and fend off Maya's takedown attempts, Martin can absolutely win this fight. But, I mean, Maya, if you look, I mean, yeah, he had a rough patch there when he had to face 3 of the best wrestlers who also know how to strike in the division in Woodley, Covington, and Usman back to back to back. But every time that he has fought somebody that is not one of the elite welterweight wrestlers, it seems like Maya is able to get things going with his ground game. And that was evident in his last fight when Maya took on a powerful striker, dangerous guy in Lyman Good, and Maya just immediately got that fight to the floor and was able to submit him. And he was able to do that against guys like Carlos Condit. He was able to take Masvidal down, even though Masvidal has very good takedown defense. And that's kind of the one that really stands out for me, because Masvidal's a dangerous striker with good takedown defense, and Maya was still able to win at least 2 rounds and take the decision against him. So I feel like that could happen here. Martin, if he cannot keep Maya at the end of his jab, Maya will probably be able to close the distance, drag this to the floor, and then get that ground game going. Potentially a submission, but worst case, could backpack him and, you know, steal at least 2 rounds. Martin does have the power to potentially finish this fight late. He did knock out Ryan LaFlair in the 3rd round. He finished Jake Matthews in the 3rd round. So it seems like the conditioning issues that Martin had earlier in his career, he has been able to put those to rest. And he actually has 3 third round finishes now in his UFC career. So if Maya wins the first couple rounds and gasses, which he has done before, Martin potentially could take advantage of that and get a finish as well. So, you know, if you're Damian Maya, you want to try to get this over with as quickly as possible. Just get this to the floor. Even though Martin is a talented grappler, Maya should have a clear edge there. And I think Maya can get a submission. So if you're Damian Maya, you just try to end this fight as quick as possible. Don't let it drag into the 3rd round where it's going to be more and more difficult to get that takedown, and potentially Martin could make a comeback. So, Martin's dangerous, but I feel like he doesn't quite have that skill set to get Maya here. So, He doesn't quite have that level of wrestling to fend Maya's attempts off. So I'm going to side with Damian Maya. I do think that he gets his grappling going, and I think he potentially wins by submission. Now, moving on to the co-main event of the evening in the flyweight division, we have Jussier Formiga, who is 23-5, taking on Joseph Benavidez, who is 27-5. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Benavidez opened minus 165, the comeback on Formiga at plus 125. And right now, what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Benavidez minus 154, the comeback on Formiga plus 137. So again, another spot where line margins have tightened up. Formiga getting some love late. Early on, it was Benavidez getting kind of bet up a little bit as well. So there is another spot where you are seeing two-way action. Early on, again, people seeing the line kind of a little low for Benavidez, considering he went out there and just torched him the first time. Now, of course, it was a few years ago, but still, Benavidez has always been one of the best flyweight fighters in the world. I mean, no doubt the skill set that this guy has. I mean, just beautiful striking. He has speed, power, that killer instinct, you know, the wrestling to go along with it. I mean, the submission game with the guillotine chokes highlighted. I mean, everything. The resume speaks for itself with Benavidez, but he's a declining fighter. I mean, there's no question about that. I know he bounced back and he's looked pretty solid. I mean, he's gotten a couple really good wins as of late over Dustin Ortiz, which was tough. I mean, never an easy win over Ortiz. And then, but Alex Perez, I mean, he opened my eyes again with the win over Perez. I mean, it was kind of a head scratcher. I didn't think he was going to dominate Perez like he did, but that was a great win for him. But I have seen a little bit of decline, despite, like I said, I mean, those compliments I just gave Benavidez coming back and winning, you know, some good fights over tough opponents. I still think he's not the same fighter he was when he did fight Formiga the first time around. So Formiga has made a lot of improvements, and man, he's on a roll right now as well. I mean, you gotta love what you see from the guy. I mean, obviously, we all know that he's an elite ground specialist. I mean, that's what he does best. I mean, he's able to just out grapple most opponents, submit most opponents. I mean, just a master on the ground, of course, but he's been stepping up his game. I mean, his boxing's getting better. His striking's definitely – I mean, he's actually a threat. He's got a little bit of knockout power on the feet. His wrestling's improving. I mean, he's getting a lot of good training over at American Top Team as well. I mean, just everything is kind of on the up for me. Even though he's been in the sport for so long, you know, you can see the improvements in his game. So to me, this is a situation – this is a fight where you see Formiga on the rise and you see Benavidez honestly – kind of going the other way despite coming off two solid wins. So this is a much more competitive matchup in my opinion. I think Formiga has a lot of motivation coming into this fight to kind of redeem himself, and he knows he's close to a title shot as well. And I mean, he's right in the mix with, this is going to be a big win over his resume. Of course, Formiga has to mix things up a little bit. I mean, just striking with Benavidez on the feet is still going to be a tough task for him. Benavidez has that explosiveness, that speed, that power. He could definitely do some damage if Formiga's not careful, but I think it's going to be more competitive on the feet than it was obviously the first time. And again, Formiga is one of these type of fighters that can get some takedowns. He can backpack you as well. He's hard to shake off your back, even if he doesn't submit you. I mean, he's a type of fighter that just makes your life miserable as the fight progresses as well. So with all the improvements and everything said, I'm actually leaning towards Formiga. I also want to throw a shout out to Pig Lord. He's one of our staff writers as well. He's got his own site. You got to check him out. He did a very good breakdown UFC on ESPN3 Benavidez Formiga betting prediction. It's available on MMAOddsBreaker.com right now. So check out Pig Lord's article. I mean, he goes into detail in this fight, and I think he's spot on, honestly. I mean, everything that he says there, I agree with. I mean, it's a real good article. And again, you can get on his mailing list as well. So make sure you check out Pig Lord. A lot of good stuff, MMA Oddsbreaker staff writer. So shout out to him. That said, like I said, I agree with him. I mean, we're basically on the same page in this fight, and I think a lot of people will agree with us as well. So Formiga is a very live dog here, I think, in this spot. I know the line is dropping a little bit more, but still, this is a spot where I think he could really pick off another quality win here, and he's been on a roll. So all signs are pointing for me, Formiga getting the job done here against Benavidez, and it is a head-scratcher for me to even say that, especially how the first fight went and how good Benavidez has been throughout his career. He's not an easy win for sure, but, I mean – in 2019, where they are right now, it's hard not to like Formiga in this spot. So I do like him, and I think, again, it's a dog or pass situation. So the pick is Formiga to get the W here.
And I can understand picking Formiga here because he definitely feels like He's got some momentum in the division. He's currently riding a 4-fight win streak with stoppage victories over Oka Sasaki, Ben Wen, and then most recently he had decisions over Sergio Pettis and Davison Figueiredo, who were both top guys in the flyweight division. And Benavidez lost a split decision to Sergio Pettis. So, you know, you got the MMA math going a little bit. And yeah, Benavidez did knock out Formiga, but that was very, very early in the very beginning of the division. And, you know, let me double check on how long ago that was. Yeah, it was 2013. So, you know, that was definitely not yesterday when Benavidez faced Formiga the last time. But you still have to factor in that Benavidez, you know, even if he has shown a little bit that he is slowing down, you got to remember that he has won almost all of his most recent fights. I believe he is 8-1 in his last 9 fights, with the one loss being a split decision to Sergio Pettis. And that includes, you know, controversial as it was, a split decision over Henry Cejudo. So, you know, Benavidez is a guy with power in his hands, pretty good wrestling, is difficult to be put on his back. And that's really where Formiga's been having his biggest strength, was he's been grappling better. He's been taking fights to the ground. He's been dominating from top position and advancing to people's backs, looking for submissions or just dominant, positions on the ground. And my biggest concern is, while Formiga has shown tremendous ability there, he has, I don't know if he has the wrestling to put Benavidez on his back and keep him there. So, I do feel like Formiga is on a roll here and he's deserving of an opportunity at the belt. That's, you know, he's kind of been playing gatekeeper for title contenders for the last few years, but he seems like he's been putting it all together. And, I think that he does deserve an opportunity at the flyweight title, however long the flyweight division lasts in the UFC for the men's division. But, this also feels like an opportunity for Benavidez to, remain relevant in the division. And, I think, if either of these guys have a rematch against Cejudo, I think Cejudo wins. So it would seem like the UFC kind of wants Benavidez to get the win here so that Cejudo could get that monkey off of his back a little bit. Cause, the last time they fought, Cejudo had Benavidez hurt early and couldn't put him away. And then Benavidez battled back and ended up winning that split decision. So, you know, this is going to be a competitive fight. Formiga has made some improvements. The last time they fought, Formiga really wasn't much of a striker, but Formiga has definitely improved his stand up. You know, he's hurt, Wilson Hayes on the feet. He dropped, Ben Wen with a spinning back fist. So, you know, the guy definitely can pull a few rabbits out of his head on the feet, but I still think Benavidez should be the better stand up fighter. He's got more power overall. Benavidez's chin may be a little bit, you know, not as good as it used to be, but Formiga doesn't have a ton of power, and I don't think Formiga could knock Benavidez out unless, you know, he just lands really good shot that Benavidez doesn't see coming. But for the most part, Benavidez should be able to keep this upright, and I think Benavidez should get the better in the stand-up. So I'm going to side with Benavidez, but I definitely am a little concerned because Formiga definitely feels like he's coming on strong in the division. So my pick is going to be Benavidez. Now, this brings us to the main event of the evening in the heavyweight division. We have Francis Ngannou, who is 13-3, taking on former champion Junior Dos Santos, who is 21-5. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Ngannou open minus 230, the comeback on Dos Santos at plus 170. And right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Ngannou at minus 217, the comeback on JDS at plus 190. And right now we're seeing some action kind of go back and forth. The line did climb up for a little bit again on Ngannou, and now we're seeing more action as we get closer to fight day on JDS. Man, I tell you what, this is a difficult fight. It really is, because skill-wise, there's no question who the better mixed martial artist here is, and that is JDS. I mean, former champion, one of the best strikers of all time in the heavyweight division. The guy has some very underrated wrestling. He's got great takedown defense. I mean, again, he's one of the all-time greats, in my opinion, in the heavyweight division. That's how good JDS is, really. But he's not the same fighter he was, despite him coming on strong as of late again and getting some quality wins over a guy like Lewis, over Tuivasa, over Ivanov. I mean, since that loss to Stipe, which I thought personally after he got just, you know, he hung in early on, but after Stipe just let it go midway through round one and put it on him, I thought JDS was kind of a shell of himself, honestly, and he was going to continue to kind of show some difficulties, but credit to him. I mean, he bounced back, didn't let it affect him mentally, and he strung off three straight wins, and he's getting himself back in title contention. And a win over Ngannou, I mean, he's right there, right in the mix for sure. So this is a big fight for both gentlemen. I still don't trust JDS, though. I think he is definitely the kind of fighter that we think has had his better days, even though he, again, against most heavyweights, let's not be, you know, funny here. I mean, the heavyweight roster from top to bottom is definitely one of the weakest rosters, you know, as far as from, you know, like I said, top to bottom that the UFC has and MMA in general has. I mean, heavyweights are not as talented as some of the other divisions. We all know that. So JDS can still beat most of these heavyweights. And even if he is a decline fighter, I mean, he is a top tier heavyweight still, and he will continue to be, I think, for still a while to come. That said, Ngannou should realistically win this fight. I mean, Ngannou has some pretty good takedown defense. Ngannou has the better striking power, at least right now. I think JDS is the more diverse striker, of course, but Ngannou, when he lets those hands go with the speed and that power that he has, I mean, it's going to be lights out for JDS if he does connect. But that's a problem. I mean, Ngannou, if he looks anything like he did against Derek Lewis, and it's kind of like a staring contest, to say the least, for a few rounds, I mean, he's going to be in some trouble. So if this fight goes and keeps progressing and JDS starts getting a little bit more confidence, and his game plan is to kind of slow this fight up a little bit and maybe utilize some of the same stuff that Stipe did against Ngannou, make this a kind of an ugly type of fight, grind him up against the cage, try to get some takedowns. And JDS can get some takedowns. Don't make no mistake about it. His wrestling is definitely underrated. I think he's one of the better wrestlers, honestly, at heavyweight. He just doesn't really need to do it very often. That's why we don't see it displayed quite a bit, but I'm not sure. Can he get Ngannou down? Is he going to even go for those takedowns? I think he should probably think about it, but still up against the cage, making it a slow, boring fight, kind of, you know, dictating where the fight goes. I think JDS could make this an ugly, grueling fight as it goes a little bit. So Ngannou, in my opinion, has to get it done in round one, round two to win this fight. And I think he's capable of doing so, though. He just has to let his hands go. And if he does, he's going to connect and probably put JDS out. So it's hard not to like Ngannou here. I think the play is honestly Ngannou by knockout. I think that's how he gets it done. Or possibly inside the distance. I know JDS overall has a pretty solid ground game, but Ngannou with his strength, I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe torques a Kimura or something like that. I mean, with, you know, that kind of power that he has, we've seen him, you know, capable of doing similar in the past. So, I mean, I don't think that happens, but it's not out of the question for me either. I mean, that's the kind of ability that Ngannou has as far as potential goes. But more than anything else, I do think that if Ngannou wins this fight, it's going to be by knockout. So again, look for a knockout price out there. And if you could get a decent price on Ngannou by KO, I think it's a way to go, because I don't expect him to win. If it does go to decision, it's probably going to be JDS winning on the scorecards, but I don't think it's going to play out that long. I mean, these guys have way too much power. I've seen in the past, I mean, heavyweights that like to stand and bang, and you would never think it goes the distance. It has trickled to the distance quite a few times, actually, and it has surprised us, but I don't think this is going to be one of those fights. I think it's going to be Ngannou probably getting it down done in round one or possibly round two. But outside of that, I think as it goes, like I said, it could be trouble for him. So the pick is Ngannou. And as this fight gets lower than 2-1, there's going to be some value, I think, that opens up in Ngannou as well. So it's kind of going to be that waiting game. If the line does dip below 2-1, I think it does open up some value. Outside of that, though, it's going to be Ngannou by KO for me. So that's what you got to look for here. I do expect Ngannou to get it done here. And unfortunately for JDS, I think his little win streak probably comes to an end here against Ngannou.
And I'm right with you. And yes, Junior Dos Santos is the better overall striker in terms of boxing technique, but I don't even know if he's that much of a better mixed martial artist. I mean, Ngannou is just so talented with his ability to adapt and evolve and grow. He's so physically strong, so powerful. And I mean, this is a guy that, is just getting better and better for the most part every time we see him, except for obviously the title fight and then immediately after the title fight. But it seems like he's put that behind him with two very quick finishes of Curtis Blaydes and Cain Velasquez, two of the more dangerous wrestlers that you would think had skill sets that could, really threaten Ngannou, and he just dispatched them like they were nothing. Now this is his first time facing somebody with a pretty decent dangerous striking ability since the Derek Lewis loss. So that is something to consider, but, for the most part here, I mean, Ngannou is just so powerful and dangerous. It just takes one shot. And we've seen that with, Dos Santos, even though he has had a nice little resurgence here with the wins over Ivanov, Tuivasa, and Lewis most recently, including the last two being by TKO, he also was hurt in those fights. Tuivasa had him in a little bit of trouble early, and Lewis also clocked him a couple times when Dos Santos was coming in a little aggressively. So we definitely have to be concerned for, you know, and you gotta remember before that, Dos Santos was knocked out cold by Overeem and Miocic. So, Dos Santos's chin is definitely not what it used to be. And Ngannou has the most power of any fighter in the history of the heavyweight division, in my opinion. So if Ngannou just connects with one really good shot, I think Junior Dos Santos is going to be knocked out. I don't really think Dos Santos can utilize wrestling here. I don't think his wrestling is good enough to take Ngannou down. I mean, Stipe was able to mix in some takedowns, but even he was having some trouble. So, and I don't think that Dos Santos has Stipe's level of wrestling either. So, for the most part, I mean, Dos Santos can play keep away for a while, but I think it's really only a matter of time until Ngannou catches him. And unless the Ngannou shows up that is afraid to pull the trigger, but I don't know why that would happen, but really that's the only way I can see Dos Santos getting the win here, because, you know, at the heavyweight level, Ngannou is just too powerful and too dangerous. And I think it's at some point he connects and Junior Dos Santos gets finished. So my pick is going to be, Francis Ngannou. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC on ESPN3. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMA OB Premium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAoddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.